You're listening to Engage on Central Florida Public Media. I'm Sharon Stone. The Mount Everest climbing season has been delayed by a few weeks this year as giant blocks of ice called seracs clogged the primary path to the world's highest peak. The blockage directly above base camp, nearly 20,000 feet above sea level, threatened to derail the entire climbing season, leaving hundreds of adventurers stuck at the base camp, missing the two-week window in May when the weather conditions permit the ascension of Everest. On Tuesday, Sherpas were able to cut through an alternate route and affix ropes to begin the process of leading mountaineers up to Camp 2, 1,000 feet above base camp. This will open up a path to the summit for the hundreds of adventurers who flock to Nepal each year and sustain the local economy dependent on mountain tourism. We wanted to talk with someone who has experience in that region, and we found Lauren Harvey, a freelance journalist focusing on travel and lifestyle content. Harvey is an Orlando native and a UCF grad, and she has an adventurous spirit that pushes her to explore the farthest corners of the globe, a passion she discovered as a teen.
My dad had the travel bug when he was growing up, and he passed it down to us as children. When I was 16, he took us on a trip to Jordan. And on the way there, we stopped in the Netherlands and I boarded a 747 for the first time. And just something about hearing that engine, that 747, awoke something in me that is still very much alive today.
In 2023, Harvey trekked to Everest Base Camp 1, the gateway for climbers seeking to ascend Everest. But at 20,000 feet, the city of tents hardly represents a starting point. Just getting there is challenging, as is acclimating to the altitude. But as Harvey explains, witnessing the grandeur of the mountain is worth the blood, sweat, tears, and dollars it takes to get to the base of the Himalayas. Harvey spoke with us from her home in Orlando about what brought her to Nepal in the first place.
I've always had a fascination with the Himalayas and Mount Everest. And if I could date it, it would start it back when I read Into Thin Air by John Krakauer. And I just fell in love with the way that he described the mountains. And I promised myself I was going to go to Nepal and I was going to go see about this mountain. So I went in 2019 to kind of scope out the land. So I did a couple of days in Kathmandu. Then I went out to Pokhara. And then I said, okay, I promised myself that I would be back. And as a graduation gift to myself, I went back in 2023. And that's when I went for base camp.
How do you even prepare to get ready for something at that altitude? What's it like being at that height for such a long period of time?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I was pretty terrified of the training portion, because in my everyday life, I'm not really that extreme. Like, I'll go to the gym, I've done a couple of half marathons here and there, but there's no altitude in Florida. It's very flat. So I had to do a lot of training, like with the Stairmaster, and there was this altitude simulation mask that I purchased just to kind of get my lungs ready for that thin air. So there's really not too much that you can do to prepare when you live in Florida, but I think I did pretty well.
Is there a way to describe to someone who's never been outside of Florida just the difference in the feeling? Like, what does an altitude mask even feel like? Can you put that into words?
Oh, yeah. It feels like every breath that you take it's deliberate. It's not so easy to have a conversation like we are now. You have to be intentional on what you want to say. Now, it's not the worst feeling that I've felt. It wasn't that difficult for me, but it's something that I've never experienced before, not in Florida, at least.
So this trip is coming together in 2023. How long does it take after you've done this training to get to the camp? You know, what's it like getting higher in altitude and seeing the mountain getting just closer and closer?
It took about 3 weeks, and you stop at these little towns all the way through, and you get to experience how the locals live their everyday lives, and you realize very quickly that they're dependent on tourism over there. So I came in knowing that there were going to be a lot of delays because the flight out from Kathmandu to Lukla, and Lukla is the airport where you start off and that's where you start your journey, that's all dependent on the weather. And the weather changes quite frequently because of all the elements around you. So even just starting off, we were delayed about 3-4 days. So it was a lot of waiting in the beginning. But once you get to Lukla, that's when you start the journey. And it was fascinating. It was nothing like I've ever done before in my life. And you start to get into a repetition. Every day starts the same. You wake up at 5 in the morning. You have a little breakfast at the tea houses that they have you in. And then you hike for 5-6 hours a day. And then our hiking day would end around maybe 4 or 5 p.m. And then there would be a lot of downtime. And that downtime, you either spend getting to know other people around you. For me, I kind of just tuned out the world. I had my little iPad and just doing little things to ground myself every day. But yeah, as we got closer, it just felt surreal to see Everest with my own eyes for the first time. I will never forget that moment.
How did that moment make you feel?
It made me feel very small. I believe I've said this in words before, perhaps on my personal social media, that there's a power in these mountains that I just have not yet been able to place into words. And it gives you perspective. And when I looked at Everest for the first time in person, I knew that this mountain commanded respect. And that's as much words as I can place into it. I mean, even just, you know, 3 years later, I'm still kind of, still don't quite have the words to describe that feeling.
So you mentioned you had planned to go solo, but ended up connecting with other people. I just want to know, how did that change your experience?
Oh, that was fascinating. I typically travel alone. But something like this, you have to have the camaraderie. And there are several trekking companies, whether it's local, international. There's a whole bunch of tour operators that you can partner with. And they all pretty much share the exact same schedule. So someone that you saw on day one, you would see them again on day two in a completely different town and a completely different tea house. So you start to know faces, and then you start to get to know people and get to know their story. And I connected with a lot of really cool people from around the world, and we kept in touch. And it was a journey that we all went through. And I'm glad that I met these beautiful strangers along the way that shared the same dreams as me, and just, you know, we went for it.
For someone listening to this conversation here in Central Florida who has this big goal, great idea, but keeps putting it off, do you have any advice for them to just actually do it? How did you find that motivation?
Go for it. Just go for it. I know it's easier said than done, but it's an experience of a lifetime. And this is coming from someone who I'm lucky enough to say that I've kind of circled the globe a time or two. And still, I have never experienced something like this before.
Any plans to go back?
Yes. Yes, yes. I intend to go back to Nepal to complete the Annapurna base camp, which is on a different region in Nepal. But yes, 1,000 times, Nepal has my heart. Landing in Kathmandu is a lot. Kathmandu is very much a city. It's noisy. There's traffic. It's high stimulation. But something about that just, I knew that I was going to go back, and I intend to, 1,000%.
Lauren Harvey is an Orlando-based freelance journalist focusing on travel and lifestyle.